Okay, that's that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7. The son of Drona punished. Text number 42.
Tata.
Aritam.
Aritam.
Pashubat.
Pashubat.
Pashabhadham.
Pashabhadham.
Avakmukham.
Avakmukham.
Karma.
Karma.
Jugupsitena.
Jugupsitena.
Niriksha.
Niriksha.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Aparkitam.
Aparkitam.
Guru.
Guru.
Sutam.
Sutam.
Vama.
Vama.
Subhava.
Subhava.
Kripaya.
Kripaya.
Nanama.
Nanama.
Cha.
Cha.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Abhanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Abhanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Subhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Vama Subhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Tataritam Pashubat Pashabhadham.
Tataritam Pashubat Pashabhadham.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guruk Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guruk Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripayana Namacha.
Vama Svabhava Kripayana Namacha.
Tataritam Pasuvam Pasabadam.
Tataritam Pasuvam Pasabadam.
Avan Mukum Karma Jugapsitena.
Avan Mukum Karma Jugapsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha. Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Avanmukham karma
jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Tataritam Pashuvat
Pashabhadham.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Avanmukham karma jugupsitena.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Vama Svabhava Kripaya Nanamacha.
Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabhadham.
Tataritam Pashuvat Ashubha Pashubhanam
Avanmukham Karma Jugupsitena
Avanmukham Karma Jugupsitena
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam
Niriksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam
Vama Subhava Kripayana Namacha
Vama Subhava Kripayana Namacha Takaritam Pashuvat Pashavatam
Avanmukham
Karma Jugupsitena
Niriksha
Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam Vama Svabhava Kripayana Namacha Tataritam Pashuvat Pashabadham
Avanmukham Karma Jugupsitena
Niriksha Krishna Prakritam Guru Sutam
Vama
Svabhava Kripayana Namacha
Tata
Tataha
Thus Haritam brought in. Pashuvat.
Pashuvat.
Like an animal.
Pashabadham.
Tied with ropes.
Avakmukham.
Without a word in his mouth. Karma. Activities. Jugupsitena.
Being heinous.
Niriksha
by seeing
Krishna
Draupadi
Apakritam
the doer of the degrading
Guru
the teacher
Sutam
son
Vama
beautiful
Subhava
nature
Kripaya
out of compassion
Nanama
offered obeisances
Cha
and
translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Sri Sutta Goswami said, Draupadi then saw Ashwatthama, who was bound with ropes like an animal and silent for having enacted the most inglorious murder. Due to her female nature, and due to her being naturally good and well-behaved, she showed him due respects as a Brahmana. Purport by His Divine Grace. Ashwatthama was condemned by the Lord Himself, and he was treated by Arjuna just like a culprit, not like the son of a Brahmana or teacher. But when he was brought before Srimati Draupadi, she, although begrieved for the murder of her sons, and although the murderer was present before her, could not withdraw the due respect generally offered to a Brahmana or to the son of a Brahmana. This is due to her mild nature as a woman. Women as a class are no better than boys, and therefore they have no discriminatory power like that of a man. Ashwatthama proved himself to be an unworthy son of Dronacharya or of a Brahmana, and for this reason he was condemned by the greatest authority, Lord Sri Krishna. And yet a mild woman could not withdraw her natural courtesy for a Brahmana. Even to date, in a Hindu family, a woman shows proper respect to the Brahmana caste, however fallen and heinous a Brahmana bandhu may be. But the men have begun to protest against Brahmana bandhus, who are born in families of good Brahmanas, but by action are less than Shudras. The specific words used in this shloka are Vama Subhava, mild and gentle by nature. A good man or woman accepts everything very easily, but a man of average intelligence does not do so. But anyway, we should not give up our reason and discriminatory power just to be gentle. One must have good discriminatory power to judge a thing on its merit. We should not follow the mild nature of a woman and thereby accept that which is not genuine. Ashwatthama may be respected by a good-natured woman, but that does not mean that he is as good as a genuine Brahmana. Tataritam pashuvat pashabadham avan mukham karma jugupsitena yadik shri krishna pakritam guru sutam vama svabhava kripaya nanama cha om maghyanatimirandasya jnananjana sadakaya chakshurum nidhiram yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa vadamayam tadati svapadamatnikam mukham karivivachanam panglam langayate girim yatkripatamaham vande shri gurum dinatharanam namashreshtamano apisati putram atrasarupam rupam tasyagrajim urupurim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivadamaho radhika madhavasam prapto yasya patita kripayo shri gurum dhannatosmi vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri guru vaishnavansha shri rupam sarvajatam sahaganam vahanatam pitam tam sajivam sarvetam sarvadutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakham Vitam Yacham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vidyane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharye Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Mahashakya Shakarine Mancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripasya Dureha Cha Patitanam Avaneyo Vaishnavebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Is it supposed to be going? Just sitting there. Huh? Okay, is it going? Is it on?
It's on.
It is on, okay. That was my only question. Okay. That was just my question, whether it was going or not. Is it significant? Purport. Hantaya madhulabala haridasya baryo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayosto Yoyat Paniyasu Yavasakandana Kandamulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Napadadi Nakaschana Purihare Pilajjame kim bruve purushottama yuvatinam tata yuni yunam cha yavata yata mano bidabite tadvam mano me ramatam toyi bhumau skalita padanam bhumireva badambanam toyi jata padadanam tvam meva sharanam prabho govinda balabe radhe prartiye tvamaham sada tudiyam iti janatu govindo mam tvaya saha radhe vrindavanadishe karuna mitavahini kripaya tava padabja dasyam mayam pradiyatam. Hare Krishna. So Ashwatthama was very sinful. He had murdered the sons of Draupadi, sometimes because the word bala is used in the verse that describes this in Mahabharata, the idea is a little changed or a little perverted to mean that small children were slaughtered in at night in their sleep. But they were warriors in the Battle of Kurukshetra. They were not little baby children. But at the same time, a heinous act to kill someone in their sleep. You cannot imagine how sinful that is, actually. And the laws of nature are strict. Whatever we may think, whatever stereotype idea or opinion we may have due to the time and circumstance conditioning of a certain time in history. You know, like now, because this nature of women, which is being described here, the real nature of the woman is different than that of the man. This comes from where? Right from the source. Radha and Krishna. The prototype, male and female. The supreme male and female. Their natures are different. And therefore we, who are in male and female bodies, our natures are different. But because of the exploitation of the stronger elements, to the weaker element, the female, because of the exploitation and abuse that have gone on for such a long time, now the modes have reacted and it's the ladies' turn in this, you know, they're getting stronger, you know. Now we got, maybe we're going to have a woman president, you know. India had a woman president, you know. Germany has a woman president. You know, they're coming up and they're showing that this general nature is not meant to be stereotyped. We're not meant to stereotype one another. Both of us genders have all qualities, actually, because we're actually spiritual. And when we're in the female body or in the male body, the nature is changed a little, you know, and it comes out differently. But the soul, the consciousness, the intelligence, the love for Krishna, those things are all actually the same. But they're expressed differently, depending on the body we've acquired. And not just a division of male and female, even within those divisions, there's so many different natures, so many different mentalities. And now, to make sure that we understand this, that we shouldn't just categorize or stereotype people on the basis of this purport, Draupadi herself, when she was almost disrobed, in the assembly of kings, completely cruelly and unjustly, Krishna came to her rescue. Even though she was by nature weaker as a woman, you can't say that the woman can be as strong as a man physically. It's not possible. The other day I saw a news clip. Sorry for bringing some mundane thing in the Bhagavatam class, forgive me. But there was one news clip that showed that some female basketball player did a dunk. You know, dunk means you jump up and you throw the ball down through the hoop. It requires that you jump a certain height and jump, you know. So the only time ever in history of the WNBA, once a woman dunked. I mean, the men, they jump, put the leg between the ball between their legs, come around the other side and go whoom and jump. And everybody goes, you know, it's like stunning what they do. They jump from the free throw line and they go, they fly and they just, wow, they jump, or whatever. Women can't do that. They shouldn't think that they can do that. They shouldn't like make it their goal to be able to do that, because maybe they can get their hand over the rim and dunk once in the whole history of the end. I mean, what did they have? They have this celebration. You know, they're running onto the floor and everybody goes, yes, yeah. You know, it's like, hello. So, you know, we're at the same time, you know, because of the time and because of the abuse and because of the reaction, you know, of the women who have intelligence, who have strength, who have character, as much as men, they're pushing, actually. And it's not just them as individual persons, it's the modes of nature in reaction to the abuse is pushing, you know, so that we can see that the strength of character and the power can be just as great in different ways, but differently. When Draupadi was disrobed, or attempted to be disrobed, Krishna came to her rescue and became her sari. So that these big, you know, hulking kshatriyas were trying to undress her, and we're going to get to it, you know, and they're going on, and pretty soon they became exhausted, because Krishna, he's inexhaustible. And so the sari was, after a while they were like, oh, they were, you know, they lost their power in front of her. So who at that point was more powerful? So then, afterwards, Bhishma, who was the most powerful man in the world at that time, he was so powerful, you know, Naishtik, Brahmachari, he exemplary, Mahajan, fully knowledgeable, powerful, even as old age, he could not be defeated in battle. If they wouldn't have killed him, they could not have won. Arjuna could not kill him. As good as he was, as much power as he got from Krishna, as long as Bhishma was there in the battlefield, they were doomed. So he's standing there. And what does Draupadi do? She looks at him, right in the face, right in the eyes. And he could not look at her. Did you know that? He could not look. He had to put his eyes down on the floor. He could not look up at her. She said, you rascal. How have you allowed this to happen? So where's that weak, you know, person in that case, in that context, you see? So we have to understand all of these things in context, and we shouldn't stereotype one another based on our natures, our individual natures, and disrespect or become proud, you know, because we are men and we can, you know, lift, you know, a certain more weight. You know, in the Olympics, they always have the records. They're always a little bit less for the women. I mean, you can't, if you think you're going to be able to, and then what do? They pump each other with hormones, you know, testosterone. We'll get those men. Build up their muscles. They even have these now muscle-bound kind of, you know, competitions where they come out with just, you know, and they've been pumping themselves full of, you know, all kinds of steroids and pumping weights and, their muscles are ripped, you know, they're big like this and rippled, and women get like this. And you look, and I saw a news clipping of this once. You couldn't look, actually. It was so disgusting. It looked so grotesque, you know. So this is the problem. We're living in an era where all these basic natures of the earth, of the animals, of the plants, of the trees, of the men, of the women, they've all been confused, you know, by the ignorant application, you know, of everything practically in the world. So because of this, because the abuse has been done by the men, it's not the women's fault, it's the men's fault. The men's fault, because they've abused the gentle nature and the fair and weaker sex, gender. They've abused that, you know. And therefore the material nature is coming back and is causing chaos throughout human society. You know, I'm sitting in the room with saints who actually already understand these things. I'm embarrassed to be able to even speak to you, you know, about this, because I was raised in a culture in which these things were not so clear. But having lived in India for some time and having been in circumstances in which I was forced to live with a very cultured family and visit them over the course of 2, 3, 4 years regularly while I was refurbishing the ashram in Govardhan. We had to go and get, you know, materials and artisans and, you know, so many things, back and forth. You know, marble and stone and stone carvers and marble layers and carpenters and all these artisans we brought to do the Govardhan project. So I was going back and forth, and I learned a lot, you know. I learned that although in our culture, when people see the ladies being shy and chaste and not putting themselves up forward and everything, the women think, oh, this is discriminatory. They're second class, they think, we can't accept this, blah, 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 based on the principle I was talking about before. But when you are there in the Indian family, when they're actually, you know, cultured, the women are completely in control. I mean, not a little control, completely in control. You know, they won't move an inch to do anything without the approval of the woman. But she doesn't put herself out in front. She doesn't, like, make, in the culture, in the original Vedic culture, she gets her power from a different nature. You see? Because she's reacting like this, Draupadi, Krishna had to make an arrangement, a different arrangement, based on the respect for Draupadi and her nature. You know, he was, all of a sudden, Draupadi and others wanted to save him, and, you know, then Bhima and Krishna, they wanted to kill him immediately. That's what should have been done. He should have been killed. This is nonsense. It's not that capital punishment is unmerciful. A person who does something like that, the karmic implications of doing something like that are so heavy. The reactions that you will get for so many lifetimes are so heavy. The prescription is that you should be put to death. Because by being put to death in that awkward situation, you actually get purified by that suffering. You know, to the point where even you can improve your lot rather than go to hell for, you know, how many, who knows how many lifetimes or how many years. So these are the laws of nature that are subtle, that are beyond the externals, that are meant to purify and to help us go forward spiritually. But in a material consciousness, all we're concerned about is the externals. How much do I know as opposed to how much you know? Or how much I can lift as opposed to how much you can lift? How loud I can shout as opposed to how loud you can shout? All these things. How much money I have as opposed to how much money you have? How much power I have as opposed to how much power you have? Conditioned souls who are bound and wound up in these conceptions exclusively. They can't see the subtle laws of nature because they don't. They've lost the thread of the goal of life. So even Krishna had to take Draupadi's nature and her conclusion into consideration because there was truth in it. There was truth in it. You know, Ashwatthama was from a Brahmin family, you know, and all these things, and a part of the family that were the teachers of the, you know, there was gratitude that had to be shown. This is very complex, to live in this world properly and not, you know, go too much to one extreme or too much to the other, to be able to actually live in the world in such a way as you stay focused on the goal of life so that your mind and senses become appeased to the point where you can actually think in love and remember Krishna in love. This is completely out the window now. It's gone out the window. They don't even consider this. And even the so-called religious leaders, bewildered by the illusory energy, are now teaching their children. I also watched another news clip the other day. Three-year-old girl was being baited with questions. And, you know, what do you think about the Americans? Death to the Americans. What do you think about Jews? Death to the Jews. Three-year-old girl. So all this natural situation where you have the male and the female nature coming together as partners who have different natures but complementary natures, that when you put them together, you have a whole. You have the family, you have the whole spirit. Therefore, Radha and Krishna, they are one soul. In two bodies, they're one soul. This is described in depth by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his famous book. So famous, I forget. I had the sieve for a hard drive. What's that book? Famous book. No. No. Sorry, I can't read the name. Anyway, you can look it up. I'll look it up later and tell you. Prema Samput. Prema Samput. You know, that's the famous book in which Srimati Radharani also showed her feminine nature. And Krishna was trying to, you know, get her favor, to get her to admit that, you know, he was actually okay. And he disguised himself as female. And, you know, when he disguises himself, he really disguises himself. I mean, he had all the curves in the right places, and, you know, everything was just, you know, the voice was just perfect, and, you know, he disguised himself as a goddess from the heavenly planets and came into her assembly looking completely morose and unhappy, and so it was so obvious in Radharani's nature, the feminine nature came out, and she said, oh, who is this beautiful young girl? So attractive, so fragrant, so perfect. My heart is immediately attracted to this person. Of course, it was Krishna trying to get her heart. So, you know, what could she do? Anyway, but she was silent. She wouldn't say anything. And so Radharani, you know, started to, you know, work on her, you know, to try to, you know, appease her, you know, offering so many, you know, wonderful words, sweet words, and offering to bring a certain ointment, you know, that will put on the temples, that will cause whatever troubles you have, the magic that she got from some. And on it went. And Krishna was just, wouldn't say anything. So finally, Krishna's like trying to get the full sympathy, the full feminine thing, you know? So she said yes. And she was saying, she was making so many proposals, what, you must be this, you must be that. maybe you're a goddess. From, and she said, yes, you got it, I'm a goddess. And she said, well, then why should you be morose, you know, a goddess? I mean, they have everything, heavenly planets, there's no sin, there's like all, you know, opulence, everything is there, long life, beauty, look at how beautiful you are. What? Why should you be morose? She then just stopped speaking again. So then, you know, she tried again. See, the reason Krishna was doing this was because at some point, you know, during the rasa dance, when Krishna left the rasa dance and came back, the gopis got on his case. He said, what kind of lover are you? You know, are you this, 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 and, you know, tried to prove that he was actually, you know, a rascal. You know, for leaving them callous to their feelings, etc., etc. So at one point, they were so powerful, and although he won the argument, he actually won the argument, because he convinced them, but still, you know, napariyeham, that was the conclusion, that's the verse in the Bhagavatam, napariyeham, I can't pay your debt, the debt that you've given me yourself completely, you know, so I can't repay that debt. So I remain eternally indebted to you. So anyway, now Krishna is trying to get right from Radharani's lips some glorification of him or some acknowledgement that he's actually okay. Right? Because, you know, that talk kind of ended on a little bit of a dodgy note in his mind. Right? So she said, yes, she said, I was in the heavenly planets and this sound came. You know, the sound of the flute came. And it was so entrancing, it was so wonderful that we all became bewildered. And the wives of demigods were like, you know, fainting and losing their composure and becoming disinterested in their husbands and, you know, it was just causing this, it was like revolutionary, you know. So she was thinking, I was thinking, she said, what is the source of this sound? What is this? So I followed that sound. And I came here and I saw Krishna playing his flute and attracting you and the other gopis. Radharani would say, yes, yes, this is true. This is true. And then, In order to test her, he said, but what's really disturbing to me is how you can give your heart to this rascal, this Krishna. You know, he says all these things to you, you're this, sweet, sweet, that. And then he goes to some other girl. He says the same thing to her. And I see when he leaves, you suffer so much like anything. I can't tolerate this. How can you possibly? And then Radharani, who loves Krishna unconditionally, Ashlashiva Padadatam Pimastama Adarshanam Amahatam Karoktava Yatatata Vavaridanta Lampato Matpananasta Lampato. The word Lampato means debauch, means rake. In other words, way of saying it, rascal. You know, a guy who's womanizing. So Radharani felt very bad about this. She said, no, you can't say that. How can you say, this is not true. Krishna's not like that. And then she gave all these unbelievable answers to Krishna's questions. Unbelievable. When Krishna goes with someone else, he's suffering like anything. And only reason he's doing that, you know, is just to make them feel good. But I'm suffering because I know that the only person that he can feel complete with is me. So he's so kind to everyone. He does like this. Anyway, there was many, many arguments. And finally it came to the end. And Krishna and Radharani said, actually, I know this. And then Krishna said to her, how do you know this? How do you know this? He's a cheater. He's you know, you're girl, you're not less intelligent. You can't understand this things. She said, I know this because we're one soul. We're one soul. Two bodies, but we're one soul. You know, everybody, we're all looking for our soulmates, right? In the material world. But we can't get a soulmate like that. You know, we try to become one, but it's not possible because when I pinch myself, you know, you can't feel it. She pinches herself, you can't feel it. We're pretending like we're like having the same experience, you know, rub our bodies together. But the fact is that we can't really know what the other one's feeling. It's not possible. That's how come, you know, Krishna came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he wanted to know. He wanted to know what Radharani was feeling when they were together. Anyway, so then Krishna, still in the form of the celestial goddess, said, yeah, prove it. You meditate on Krishna and bring him here. If you're one with Krishna. She said, yes, I can do that. So she sat down. You know, Madhurani is so innocent and so sweet. She sat down, you know, started meditating on Krishna. And of course, the fact is, and this is the proof of the pudding, this is the real proof of the pudding, she controlled Krishna completely. Even though he was right in front of her, trying to trick her and trying to play with her like this. But when she started meditating on him in pure love, he lost it. He couldn't maintain that form anymore. He was forced by the love to take his original form. And he was forced to run up to her, you know, shamelessly, and just embrace her. And then she opened her eyes, and there he was. And she said, see? Oh, where did she go? Where did she go? You know? And then later on, you know, one of the other gopis said, oh, she went to here or there, you know. And then, so in this way, Krishna got, you know, to be with Radharani. So another point is here being made that, you know, we shouldn't just, you know, stereotype these feelings and these things. You know, it's not that, you know, a woman is just like that and she's not like anything else, or a man is just like that and he's not like anything else. All of us have feminine and masculine natures and qualities inside of us. And even within the genders, we'll see some that look and act more masculine than others. Even among the males, some look and act more feminine than others. So there's a wide range of this going on, especially now. Especially now when everyone's thing has become so confused, you know, for lack of garbha sangskara, you know. When I was in Fiji preaching back in the 70s, before they had television in Fiji, I mean, this place was, talking about remote. I mean, they didn't have television. It's out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I was doing programs, you know, at schools with the children. I was going village to village doing school programs. And they were so pure, you know. They were following the culture, actually, pretty strictly there at that time. Now it's being spoiled again. But you could tell who was a brother and sister just by looking at them. I made an experiment. I went into one group and I said, okay, you're the sister of this one brother. They said yes, and they smiled. Real sweetly. Yes, yes. How did you know? You know, because their union was pure. They weren't just having sex for lust. They wanted the children, you know, and therefore the genes and everything came out. So they looked like one. It was more pure. Nowadays, you know, especially just internationally, we're becoming mutts. You know what a mutt means? Mutt means, you know, not a purebred. You know, we got so many other genes mixed in that we come out and we may look like our parents, we may not. Who knows what's going to happen? So we're in this situation. We're in this culture. So we have to be sure, you know, that we don't succumb to this tendency to stereotype one another based on the body, whether it be male, female, whether it be Indian, American, whether it be, you know, Gujarati versus Punjabi, whatever South Indian, whatever the, you know, it's everything is so communalized in India now. It's like compartmentalized to the point where you don't even mix in the, you know, in the different communities, what to speak of, you know, nations. But because the natural condition of the male and the female in spiritual consciousness is that they are good. You remember the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra? I told you the story of Bhishma, how powerful he was and how he couldn't be defeated. Well, just before the battle, I'm not sure whether it was before or after Bhagavad Gita was spoken. I think it was before. Anyway, Yudhishthira, he got off of his chariot, took off all of his armor, put down his weapons, and walked across that no man's land in between the two armies. Sought out Bhishma's chariot, which was easy to find because it's, you know, Bhishma. And he circumambulated Bhishma and went around and around many times. And then he paid full dandavats in front of Bhishma's chariot. Bhishma looked at him and said, "What have you done? What have you done? This humble act is so powerful. Now I have to do whatever you want. I'm completely obliged. What have you done? So what do you want? Okay, what do you want? I'll give you anything. You want me to go all that way? You want me to?" He said, "No, we have to fight. It is Krishna's will. The battle is already, die is cast. I want to know how I can kill you in battle." So Bhishma told him the story of Shikhandi and how she was woman before and how then she changed her gender by this sacrifice. And he said, I can't look at her, what to speak of, shoot at Shikhandi. So at the crucial time in the battle, they put Shikhandi right there in front, and Bhishma went like this, and became a pincushion of the arrows of the Pandavas and other great warriors. And still, he had to decide on his own to leave. Still, but he was disabled, at least, he couldn't. And then he agreed, you know, Krishna's will, because he was a pure devotee of Krishna, he's Mahajan. Therefore, in order to be a devotee, a pure devotee of Krishna, we have to have transcendental intelligence. We have to have an intelligence beyond just the, you know, externals, you know, the petty intrigues of politics and gender bashing and what was it? There's a book out, you know, men are from Mars and then women are from Venus and all these books, and somebody, some comedian came out and said, "Men are from Earth, women are from Earth. Deal with it." Rather than making it this, you know, like some kind of mystical thing out there. If you learn this and that, then everything, all the difference is going to go away and you're going to merge into the, you know, heavenly, you know. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose behind the differences in the natures. There's a purpose. You know, you can't, sometimes when people used to challenge Prabhupada about this, you know, they're equal. And Prabhupada said, "So you have the child. Go ahead. You get pregnant." So bold, Prabhupada was so bold. "You're equal? You same? Okay, then you get pregnant. You breastfeed the baby. You take care. You change the diapers." Of course, now they're kind of doing that in their not everything, but something. They're trying to, you know, to make up for their abuse or whatever. And so there is a difference, and there's a reason for the difference. Here it says, and we shouldn't take this in the wrong way, you know,
women class are no better than boys. This doesn't mean that boys and women are less. When it says no better, this is English, Prabhupada's English. You know, you should understand. It doesn't mean that one's inferior and one's superior. It doesn't mean that. Prabhupada never meant that, that one is superior and one is inferior. We're different and we have different roles. And when we play those roles properly in human life, then there's peace in the family. There's peace in society. And now when everyone's trying to artificially be just the same in all ways, it's causing chaos. It's causing confusion. And the extremes of one, you know, side or the other side are making it the polemic so bad it's just violence. Violent. You know, the Taliban. They're on the one side. You know, you can't, don't show your face, or they will beat you with a stick. You know, what is this craziness? And they're like doing it in the name of the most pure representation of the Quran. This is the real thing. You know, you can't be educated. You know, you have no rights. No legal rights, no rights, nothing. And in India it's like that also, it's being perverted. And it's hard for us, you know, because we try to tell the truth in regards to the Vedic culture, why young boys and girls before in the pure culture would marry very young. But what happened is the rascals, males, they would try to get the young girls to marry them, you see, very young, even though they were older, and then exploit their, you know, innocence for their perverted, you know, pleasures, their perverted, and therefore now the whole thing is lost. Or, you know, the woman at the time of death of the husband, due to extreme devotion, you know, the better half, they would jump onto the fire to go with the husband because they couldn't live without the husband. It was out of love and complete, but that was never forced. Just as marriage was never forced. You couldn't force a girl to marry someone based on this or that. If they would try to make the arrangements based on compatibility and astrology and all that, but if the girl said no, they wouldn't force. Not in the Vedic culture. But now they force. They force so in such a ridiculous way that if she doesn't bring, you know, the right size refrigerator back as a dowry, they'll torture. So we shouldn't think that this is Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't think that that's the Vedic culture. We should know these books. We should become very knowledgeable about these books, and we should become realized ourselves by following the principles and by becoming pure, you know, and having the goal in our hearts, the proper goal in our hearts. Then we can understand how to reconcile these apparent contradictions. They are apparent. All these contradictions are apparent. And they're based on ignorance of the self and ignorance of the goal of life. Arjuna, before, when he, in the end of the first chapter, Prabhupada writes a purport where he says the tears that Arjuna was, you know, on one plane, with one consideration, he was exhibiting weakness of heart and material compassion, and he was condemned by Krishna. But on another plane, he was accepted as soft-hearted, as a genuine person who was eligible to hear because of that nature, because of that soft-heartedness. So this requires spiritual intelligence to understand both at the same time. Now with modern technology and physics and mathematics and the way it is in computer science, we just think linearly. You know, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, you know. We can't put two things into our brain that appear to be contradictory at the same time and know that they're both true. We can't do that. Or at least it's becoming harder and harder to do that. So finally, you know, Arjuna, he had Krishna and Bhima on one hand saying, you have to do this, and, you know, Yudhishthira and Draupadi and others on the other side, you can't do this. And Krishna is saying, so now you have to do the right thing. So he had to kill him, and he had to not kill him.
They couldn't figure that out with Saddam. Right? They couldn't figure that one out. So they just, you know, put him up there and taunted him and, you know, embarrassed him right to the end and, you know, made a sham out of it. And you know, even if that was justified on one level, on another level, it's going to make the whole situation worse for now until generations from now. In order to act properly for the Shreyas, huh? What Krishna says it so many, Arjuna asks so many times, what's the Shreyas? You know? To know that, you have to actually be Krishna conscious. You actually have to be realizing within yourself, you know, that you're spiritual. You have to be perceiving yourself. Pratyaksha samamam dharmyam susukham kartamami. So the purpose of everything that we do in Krishna consciousness, the purpose of our regulation, the purpose of following principles strictly, the purpose of cultivating knowledge, the purpose of our compassion and going out, you know, and sacrificing our energy for the benefit of others, our renunciation, you know, our duties within the Varnashram, fought strictly. The purpose of all of those things is one. Is to show Krishna that our love and affection, and our faith and devotion for him is unflinching. Not only that, but whatever happens to us, negative or positive, or indifferent, whatever happens to us in life is for only one purpose. It's Krishna, indirectly or directly, either himself personally or through the modes of nature, giving us another opportunity to show that our faith and devotion in Krishna is unflinching. That's the goal of life. And that's the only thing that can satisfy Krishna completely. And if we take it like that, moment to moment, happenstance by happenstance, then we can be fixed. Then we can get taste from something else. Yontak sukon tararamas tantir yotir evacha sayugi brahmanir bhavanam brahmabhutam. Accomplish. Inside. The happiness is inside. The happiness, spiritual happiness, does not depend on some external circumstance. If you take that to the conclusion, the ultimate expression of love for Krishna, which is vipralamba, which is service and separation, to feel intense separation from Krishna, so intense that the tears will come out of your eyes. You can't speak. You can't, you appear externally to suffer like anything. But it's not suffering. It's the topmost transcendental satisfaction to bring your consciousness to the point where you feel so much separation from Krishna that you can't live for another moment unless he reveals himself to you. Then he'll reveal himself. But in the meantime, the suffering that appears to be suffering when you're in that state is actually the topmost pleasure. A devotee who's feeling separation from Krishna to that extent, where they're crying out and apparently suffering, like the Brajbasis, for Krishna when he left Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami explains this with an example, because this is very difficult to understand. How somebody that looks on the face of it like somebody suffering is actually the highest pleasure. It's very difficult to understand. So he uses the example of ice. If you make ice cold enough, you know, dry ice, really cold, and you put it on your skin, it feels hot. So much so that it will burn. And you take it off and it'll leave a burn, like a red mark, like you've put a flame on it. The ice is cold. It's not hot. But it feels hot. And it acts like it's hot. So you should know that to cultivate the feelings of separation from Krishna to the most, as much as you can, and the feelings of separation that you feel during that time, which may appear to be suffering, is not suffering. And if you pretend to do that, then you will suffer. You will actually suffer. And that will ruin everything. Because then you'll lose track of reality and you'll just go away. And you'll just indulge in nonsense in the name of, you know, Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness is a very deep thing. And this translation of purport epitomizes how deep it is. And we should pray to Srila Prabhupada, previous acharyas, our spiritual masters, Sri Sri Radhamada Mohan, Lord Chaitanya, that we can be given this transcendental intelligence, which is beyond, which contains all the qualities, masculine and feminine, spiritual intelligence, and that we can adjust things, just as things were adjusted in this circumstance. And then we can be happy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Go Premanandi. Hare Hare Bo.
I had a question. The Vama Samara Kripa, I am just curious as to the, is it showing us that even the murderer of your five children, the only five children that you have, that the murderer in the Vama Sabha will be able to show mercy on the murderer?
No. The thing should be taken directly. The message is direct. Draupadi showed mercy because of her nature, because of her soft-hearted nature. And he was the relative of Brahman, and therefore that was true. But at the same time, he was a heinous murderer that needed to be punished extremely in order for his benefit. So this is the difference. The difference is that whether or not we're doing something for us or for them, this is a real test. I mean, you know, sometimes the mother will do something to the son in order to keep the son with her. Even it's bad for the son, because it's not for the son, it's for her. I was in Italy, I was preaching, and we were on an intense kind of marathon to make devotees because we had just gotten Bila Vrindavan and we didn't have enough devotees to operate the place. So they brought me down from France and I went on a marathon making devotees, you know. We went here and there and everywhere and, you know, tried to make devotees. So we made some devotees, 30 devotees, no, 45 devotees we made in 30 days. Yes, it was big. We were empowered, no doubt. So anyway, there was this one boy, you know, when you do something like that, you take risks. You know, you just can't be like, you take risks. So there was this one boy who was strung out on heroin. I mean, really strung out on heroin, to the point where he could barely function. And he came in, but he was nice. He was actually a nice person. So we decided to take a risk. So we brought him into the ashram, and we kept him away from heroin, and he went through cold turkey. You've seen a person go through cold turkey? Anybody? It is unbelievable experience, the suffering that they go through. You know, the need, the craving, the addiction is so powerful. They just go crazy, you know, suffer like you can't imagine. Anyway, we went through this with him, and it was like 2 or 3 weeks. Kept feeding him with prasadam and giving him affection, kirtan, and he went through it. He actually went through it and he became very nice. And 3 weeks later, his color was back and he looked clear and clean. And he was so relieved. He called his mother. And his mother was so overjoyed. Called us, she said. You are must be saints. How is this possible? You've done this. You know, you are purchased me. You know, sell all these things, right? So then the boy was so, you know, overwhelmed that he shaved his head without telling anybody and went out of the ashram to go visit his mother. And when his mother saw him shaved-headed and realized that he was going to join the Hare Krishna movement, that night in his sleep, she shot him with heroin. Just so she could keep him with her. This is how compassion can be misplaced. It's an extreme case of course, but these things are going on. So we should know that material attachment has the potency to take us that far, that we will do anything to the so-called loved one so that our position will be, we will feel good. This is the opposite of love. It's just the opposite of love. Love means you give, you sacrifice what's going to make you happy for the other person's happy. And Radharani, she says in that same book, that same Pramput, Prem Samput, she says, you know, if my suffering gives Krishna pleasure, then my suffering is my greatest pleasure. Of course, Krishna would never, for a second, think like that. But that's the mentality. We have to come to that mentality, to that state of consciousness. And of course, in the very beginning stages, it's manifested or it's exhibited in this Sankirtan. Sakta-kardim vimignan so yata kurvanti bharata kuryat vidman tata shakti chakirshu lokasangraham. A person may be attached and may act a certain way. A person who is unattached will act the same way. But why? Chakirshu lokasangraham, for the benefit of others. So we'll sacrifice, you know, for the benefit of others. This is the expression of love. And it is the most intense way, or the best way, or whatever, however you want to say it, to worship Krishna, is to relieve Krishna, to sacrifice yourself, to relieve Krishna from his anxiety. This is the topmost worship. And that this is what this Sankirtan is. This is what this book distribution is. It is the topmost worship of Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. Because it is meant simply to relieve Lord Chaitanya's anxiety that he feels, seeing the fallen conditioned souls without him. Yes?
Could we say then that there are two types of sufferings? One is the one you have described, but one is deliberately doing sacrifice for the betterment of others. But then we know another suffering, which everybody is going through, that is due to karmic reaction in this world. I've done something before, and I'm suffering.
Exactly. Precisely. Yeah.
This question is with reference to practical implementation of what we read in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, in this verse, whatever Ashwatthama has done, which my brain says that any king or army does it every day today. Like, you know, an aeroplane goes and bombs the city. So what to talk about 5 children in sleep? You know, we destroy hundreds, thousands, millions in sleep. So at one end we say that, you know, at least to the best of my knowledge, Krishna has never punished so severely as Ashwatthama. But at the same time, if you are giving this sermon to a president or in an army, then it's you know, the next thing after they are supposed to do is take up light and warm a sati. So then what is to be done? How is it to be understood? Like,
well, it's to be understood that those persons who are doing that are more sinful than Ashutama. And you can understand that the plight of the world is a result of their misbehavior, of the misbehavior of the leadership. They're acting like that, therefore the whole population is becoming like that, and the reactions are extremely severe. And if you read about the symptoms on the earth when Yudhishthira was in charge, and this is why Krishna went through this whole process, the battle of Kurukshetra, to change the sovereignty of the leadership from demoniac to divine. You see, because when an actual Krishna conscious person is in charge of anything, the country, the world, the country, you know, a family, you know, then things become auspicious. Automatically they become auspicious. Even externally, things are not so opulent. They're auspicious. And you can see it in the faces of the family members and the children. Sometimes now that you've tasted the fruits of American dream, you know, we may go back to India and have the same kind of culture shock that we do. And we did when we first went to India, and we see the level of poverty in some cases, in some places, and we think how horrible. But then if you look in the eyes of the children, and they're playing with just, you know, a little, you know, one little something, and they're just in ecstasy, you know. So we should know that those horrible people that are leading the world now, and you know, staying back in their comfortable bunkers. This is why Saddam got what he got. He did such horrible things. He got what he deserved. Of course, that doesn't excuse others from misbehavior. Everybody has responsibility for their own conduct and their own whatever. But this is the reality. This is the reality. So what can we do? The most we can do, because you can't change that. You can't change the laws of nature. And we have misbehaved as a collective unit enough that the reactions are so severe, they must play out. You know that Krishna, this is one reason why Krishna had the Mausala Leela. You read this in 11th canto, Mausala Leela, where Krishna organized a fratricidal war so that the Yadus would destroy themselves. How can you understand that? They were so dear to him. He was dear to them. Because Krishna sees things from a completely different perspective. And unless we learn to see things through that perspective, we won't be able to understand anything. So on one side, the one reason was, he didn't want them, who they were so powerful, no one could question their authority, no one could defeat them, and he knew that the Kali Yuga was so strong that they may misuse that and it may cause chaos in the world. So we wanted to remove that potential danger. And on the other side, he wanted the Kali Yuga to progress. Because if they were stayed on the earth, Kali Yuga wouldn't progress. And the Kali Yuga is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because the collective consciousness of the human being becomes so bad, they need this severe, you know, treatment in order to wake up, in order to use the results of their those sinful reactions, to use them so that they can actually become eventually free. So to understand all these things properly in the proper perspective and to live our lives by that principle, the most we can do as individuals, try to help others one soul at a time. Excuse me, sir. Are you from here? Give that book. Give that taste. Give that experience of contacting a liberated soul through the Bhaktivedanta purports. It's the most we can do. And eventually, I'm doing this, you know, generations. It'll take generations. See, if we look at things from Krishna's perspective, he's seeing things in time completely different than we are. You know, one of his breaths is 311 trillion years of our time. Do the math. Do the math. Connect the dots. One out-breath. 311 trillion years. How important is one lifetime of one person of 100 years in relationship to that? It's insignificant, completely insignificant. Prabhupada once told us, and when we go back to the spiritual world, it will be just like we nodded up from a dream. Sometimes when you're sleeping and you just nod out, you will dream something horrible is happening. And you'll think the end is near, I'm going to be dead, everything's ruined, I've lost everything. And then you wake up and you go, oh, whew, I'm glad that wasn't real. Such a relief. When we wake up, that's what it's like, something like that. But we, in the mix of the, in the middle of the thing, you know, we lose sight of it. And therefore we think any little thing, it's like a child, you know, a child, very attached to some little toy, nothing. And you take it from the child, I just want to look at it for a second. No, no, you can't do that. And then they, you know, they go crazy. I'm going to give it to you right now, just like, look here. No, no, no. And then they just lose it, completely lose it, nothing. And the parent doesn't become freaked out because she knows that 10 minutes later the kid's going to be playing just like nothing happened. Then that's a mature parent. Doesn't just react to every little thing, you know, and otherwise you raise a schizophrenic, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Okay, I think we have to stop now. And, you know, it's late, so you're really going to have to excuse me for this because he has all these samosas to make before to go to Vaishya's father's memorial service. And, you know, we have to go. So we won't be there for prasadam or for the kirtan. We have to go. It's actually late. It's real late. It's 10:30. So please forgive me for just talking and running. Okay? Forgive me for that. And I'll be back, what, Saturday? I'll be back Wednesday.
Tomorrow,
Sunday feast. Yes, Sunday feast tomorrow, and then Wednesday, and like normal program, I'll be there. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be with you. Your ears are so nice. They're being so trained by Vaish, so nice, and you're taking the Sankirtan, and therefore your hearts are so nice. It's getting easier and easier to talk, so don't give me the credit, please. Credit belongs to you. The tongue and the ear are connected. Can't speak like this without the ears being very receptive. So I give you the credit, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.
Jai.